Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Hello, church. So good to see you. Hope you're doing well. You look so well everywhere across Sydney. You look so well. And we want to say to our guests a big welcome. Put your hands together, everybody. Come on, make every guest feel right at home. We're so glad you're here. We are one church right across Sydney, and that's why we're coming to you via video, because we are launching a new campaign. And so we love being on the same page together, the same heart, leaning into what God is saying to us as a whole church right across the city. So we're so glad to see you. Who's feeling excited? You feeling excited? Yeah, very good, very good. Who's glad it's spring? Yeah, good, good. Who likes winter? Nobody. Well, we're in for a great spring, everybody. And so we're going to get straight into it. We're talking about consecration. And consecration is about holiness. And holiness is about being set apart for God. So we're going to be going to the book of Isaiah. I want you to grab your Bible. Here's what I want to say to your church. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you're a guest, we got the Bible on the screen for you. But if you're a follower of Jesus, I'd love you to get out your own Bible. I'd love you to take notes. Ask God, what are you saying to me, God? What's even just the one thing you're saying to me? And let's lean into the Word of God together today. Amen? Amen. So Isaiah 6, 1 to 8. Isaiah 6, 1 to 8. Let's read this together. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Don't you love that song? And the train of his robe filled the temple. Can you get that note? I can't get that note. I love that song. That's a great song. Well, that song is based on this scripture. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, probably good, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, three times, holy, third time, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is filled or is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried, says Isaiah. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphim were the top angels, flew to me with a live coal, that's hot, in his hand, which he had taken with tongs. He loves a good pair of tongs. You love tongs. From the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin, atoned for, your guilt is taken away and your sin atone for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And we read on, Isaiah responds, Lord, send me. And so here we have Isaiah, King Uzziah has died, and the prophet Isaiah has been raised up at a time of great unrest, of great upheaval, a time of transition. If you're an enemy, the time to attack your enemy is when the king has died, when there is transition happening. That's the window to attack. So here God calls Isaiah to rise up as a prophet to speak in this context where King Uzziah has died. And it says that Isaiah sees the throne of God, which is not new to scripture. The prophet Micaiah saw God's throne in 1 Kings 22:19. Job saw God's throne in Job 26:9. David saw God's throne in Psalm 9:4, Psalm 9:7, Psalm 11:4. The sons of Korah saw God's throne in Psalm 45 and 47. Ethan the Ezrahite saw God's throne in Psalm 89. Jeremiah saw God's throne in Lamentations. Ezekiel saw God's throne in Ezekiel 1 and 10. Daniel saw God's throne in Daniel 7. The Apostle John saw God's throne in Revelation 4. In fact, the book of Revelation, it could be called the book on God's throne because God's throne is specifically mentioned more than 35 times in the book of Revelation. And it's in this vision that Isaiah has of God on his throne that he sees the holiness of God. He sees Father God seated on his throne. Remember, the Son is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The Father occupies that throne, and Isaiah sees the holiness of God. And here's what we must catch about Isaiah's vision of God. First thing we must understand is that God is holy. Everyone say holy. Come on, say holy, 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 holy. God is holy. And now through scripture, you often see a word repeated twice. My God, Martha, Martha. Wherever you see a word repeated twice, it is for emphasis. It is to reinforce a sense of emotion or to reinforce a sense of just to bring emphasis. But here we see holy, holy, holy. It's what you could call a superlative. A superlative. Meaning when we read it three times that the seraphim, the angels were singing, angels of the highest order, the seraphim, singing the nature and the character of God, holy, 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 three times, it is to express such a transcendent reality about who God is that there is no words in the dictionary. You couldn't express it enough to describe that God is holy. Three times is significant because it's beyond the language of the day to express how holy God is. That he is separate, that he is unlike any other, that he is not comparable to anyone else or any other deity. God is holy, holy, holy. He is so bright. He is so high and exalted, it says. High and exalted. He is so above. He is incomparable to any other deity, any other human. What you must understand, the holiness of God describes the fact that he is not a better human. God is not superhuman to say that he is like us but with no defects. God is not like us. God is not comparable to any father figure or any human figure you know that is on a pedestal, that is praiseworthy. And these are all, there's so many great people. But God is not on that scale. Holy means he is separate, unique, and distinctly God. He does not fit in our scale. He is outside of our scale. He's not top of the priority list. You got to throw out your list when it comes to God. He's in his own paradigm, in his own rulership. He is head. He is above. He is not beneath. He is nothing like anybody else. No religion can compare. He is not one of the gods. He doesn't fit in a group of gods. He is above every other name, above every other deity, above every other religion. He is holy, holy, holy. Isaiah 55 verse 8 says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord." His ways are above our ways. In Numbers 20 verse 12, it says that God said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not sanctify me, which means treat me as separate. So this is not the process of sanctification it's talking about. It's talking about God is saying, because you did not sanctify me, meaning because you did not treat me as separate, treat me as above everything else, because you treated me as one of the gods in your list of gods. The people of God made idols and they had God and their idols. And he said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not sanctify me, treat me as separate, you will not inherit the promised land. The people will, the next generation will, but you will not. God is high and exalted, everybody. I love this in John 17. We see Jesus' personal prayer time with the Lord. He addresses God the Father in John 17 as Holy Father. And you must understand, you know, like a lot of us, we have earthly fathers. Well, we all do. And so the thing is, God is not like your father. And this is not to diminish the fact that you may have experienced gaps with your earthly father. And that is not to shut that down at all. But you must understand, God the Father is whole. He's a holy father. He is a separate father. He is perfectly perfect. His love is not like the love of your earthly father. It is high and above that love that you know from your earthly father. He is holy. He is holy. And what we got to understand is when we understand God is separate, God is above, when we understand this, it actually sets the backdrop for a fresh revelation of the gospel. You know, we've been painting our house. And when I say we, I mean me. And so we've been painting our house. And, you know, as soon as we have painted the walls, we've painted the ceilings, as soon as we do that, it's amazing how it changes the house. It sets the scene. It's a beautiful, it creates a backdrop for what could happen in this house. When you paint, it also highlights everywhere else that is a mess. When you paint the walls and they're white and they're pristine and they're fresh, you start to see how dirty the floor is. You start to see how much mess there is everywhere else. Because the walls and the ceiling are finally clean and crisp and white. And it's amazing to me that we must understand without the revelation of God's holiness, we cannot truly see the beauty and the wonder of the gospel. And when we look into the holiness of God, without it, we can't understand the wonder of the gospel. But it also, when we look into the holiness of God, it reveals how broken we are. The second thing we see in Isaiah's vision, first thing is God is holy, but secondly, we are not holy. Verse 4, the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. We must understand, if God is separate and transcendent, high and exalted, above and not beneath, we are the opposite. We are below. We are beneath. We are faulty. We are broken. We are marred. We are dysfunctional. His holiness highlights our brokenness. And I'm not trying to make you feel unworthy. I'm not trying to make you feel broken. I'm not trying to make you feel less than. I'm telling you, you are. You are broken. You are unworthy without God. You are less than without God. Church is not a self-help group. We are not here saying unlock the inner champion within. No, your inner champion sucks. You need God. When you look at the holiness of God, how pure, how clean, how incredible God is, it highlights that you are not. And don't worry, there's good news coming. But you gotta sit in that. You gotta understand that the standard of holiness is high. And when we get used to just comparing ourselves among ourselves and rating ourselves against each other, well, my sin's not as bad as theirs. I'm not as messed up as them. I'm a pretty good person. This is dangerous because we are missing that the measure and the standard is not among ourselves. The standard is God. And God is holy, holy, holy. And we do not measure up to His standard. You know, when you shine a light on a dark corner in a house like I have recently, when you shine that light, it shows and reveals mold, spider webs, insects, everything that grows in the dark. And so it is when we peer into the holiness of God, it actually reveals the brokenness and the dysfunction and the fact that we don't measure up. And that's the truth. But here's the good news, everybody. God is the one who makes us holy. Yeah, this is good news. God makes us holy. Verse 6, then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. The angel of God, the seraphim, by the hand of God, made Isaiah holy. Listen to me. Listen, as we come to a close. You don't make yourself holy. God makes yourself holy. How could you make yourself holy? You can't make yourself holy. You can't clean your dirty face with a dirty hand. You need an exterior, a source that makes you clean and makes you holy. You need a shower. You need something outside of yourself. Your inner champion within can't make you holy. Only God can make you holy. Only the hand of God can cleanse you and make you white as snow. And this is the gospel, everybody. This is the good news that God is holy. He is high and exalted, and we are not. But praise be to God that through Jesus Christ He came and He died and He made us right with God by faith in Him. This is the gospel. The one who is holy is the only one that can make the unholy holy. God is holy. We are not. But He makes us holy by His great mercy. By His great kindness, He sent Jesus. And I love this. As I come to a close, here's the reality. We don't make ourselves holy. God makes us holy. But what do we do, therefore, to consecrate our lives to God? What is our part to play? We can't make ourselves holy. Only God can do that. But I love what Isaiah said. He said, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. Do you know that scripture? That scripture in Corinthians? 2 Corinthians 3:18. Look at this with me. You know, these kind of visions in the Old Testament, they were reserved for God's prophets. But look what it says in 2 Corinthians 3:18 in the New Testament. And we all, because of Jesus, we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. And we all, because of Jesus, we all can stand before God and behold the holiness and the glory of God. And you know what? When you, in the Old Testament, when you beheld the glory of God, unless you were Moses, unless you were a prophet, you would die. If you were to look at the holiness of God, you would die. Even Moses couldn't look at the full face of God. He had to look at his back. But in the New Testament, because of Jesus, he tore the veil from top to bottom so that now we can look unto God. We can look into the glory and the splendor and the holiness of God and not be killed, but be transformed. This is the gospel. This is the power. This is what it is to be consecrated. What does it mean to be consecrated? It means to set your eyes, your mind, your heart aside to behold. Above anything else you behold, to consecrate your life is to behold God above every other thing. How? In prayer, in the word, in the gathered church, in the temple and the table in Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves. What is consecration? It is to devote yourself to beholding God above every other thing. More than what you watch on television, more than anything else in your life, that God would be the thing you behold the most. That he would be above every other thing. This is what it is to consecrate our lives. And I'm praying, church, that you and I in this season, we would consecrate ourselves afresh to God. Psalm 27 verse 4, it says, "One thing I have asked of the Lord." Worship team, I'd love you to join me. One thing. Come on, everyone, say one thing. One thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord and all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. To gaze, to behold. Isaiah said, "I saw the Lord." This is the consecrated life, a life that submits itself to gazing, looking, giving attention to who God is above every other thing. And I believe over these next few weeks, we're going to open up the altar. We're going to have time to gaze. We're going to have time to behold God afresh. I pray in your personal world, you make some room to behold God more, to get into your word, to get to connect group, to come to services, cancel everything else, cancel every other Sunday booking. God is holy. Let's put him above every other priority. And let's come and seek him, worship him, dive into the word together. I believe God wants to move in your life over this next 4 weeks, and we are so excited about it. So everybody, can you just, in your seat, where you're seated is fine. Can you just open your palms to God? Open your hands. Lord, we thank you that you are holy. You are separate. You're high above. Lord, we thank you that in light of your holiness, we realize we are not. We are not. But we thank you for your son, Jesus. By your great mercy, you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So Lord, we want to behold. We want to separate our eyes, our mind and our heart to behold you more than anything else. So I thank you, God, in Jesus' name, have your way over these next 4 weeks. And they all said, amen. Amen, church. Come on, give God a big hand. Come on, give God all the praise. We love you, church, and we will see you soon. Over to you, team.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.